On with Bob Kincaid. Head On is brought to you every night by the West Virginia District Council of Carpenters and Millwrights. Union Carpenters and Millwrights, they're building the American dream. Free speech isn't free if you don't use it, so call Bob now at 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. That's 1-877-443-2366. Now, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Thank God it's Monday. Seems like it's been 3 days since we talked. Of course it has. Long weekend. A little bit of this, a little bit of that. You know, family time. Valuable time. I mean, I kid about my weekends, but it's good to have a little bit of downtime, a little bit of hangout time. But we're back at it today and back at it in spades. Considering the fact that we got the Sammy Bad Breath Melito hearings underway, Machine Gun Sammy, as he's known. And, you know, not a lot of fireworks today in the Senate Judiciary Committee, mainly because this was the day for the, the orgy of political grandstanding that is opening statements. Great florid statements from this senator and that senator. And, you know, I guess it's well and good. They got to showboat a little bit for the folks back home. But frankly, in light of the fact that, you know, these hearings are time limited, I would much rather that time be spent asking searing, piercing questions of this monstrous, hateful, revolting individual who is nominated for the Supreme Court of the United States. Machine Gun Sammy. And you know why he's Machine Gun Sammy, right? The lone dissenting voice in a case prosecuting a man for illegally selling machine guns at a Pennsylvania gun show. Can you believe that? This is a guy who wants crooks to have machine guns. You know, the crime problems we have, they're not bad enough, according to Machine Gun Sammy. We've got to have more. But beyond that, and, we've talked about it in the past, instead of all this political showboating and grandstanding, I would like to have one Democratic senator, and all these people are theoretically at least lawyers. You don't get to the Judiciary Committee without the law degree. It's sort of a specialized committee in the Senate. And I want, you know, is there one trial lawyer in the United States Senate that's a Democrat? That being the case, I need one lawyer who knows how to do a cross-examination. I need one lawyer who will sit there and ask Alito questions and ask him leading questions. Ask him questions that don't permit for weasel room. You see what I'm saying? Sir, is it not true that you authored a dissenting opinion in which you stated it was legal for the police to strip search little girls without a warrant? Sir, is it not true that you authored an opinion in which you sanctioned the broom handle rape of a retarded man in the workplace? Sir, is it not true that you sanctioned police shooting an unarmed suspect in the back of the head as he tried to flee and presented no threat? Is that not true, sir? You know, that way you don't let him get away with a, well, you must understand that within the confines and strictures of judicial economy based upon a model of judicial restraint as manifested in the letter. No. No, none of that bug spray. Sir, you either sanctioned the strip searching of a 10-year-old girl or you didn't. Did you or didn't you, sir? I will continue to ask the question until such time as you give me a straight answer. But that's me. But I doubt we're going to get that. Dear me. Judge Alito, so nice to have you here today. Hope your stay is pleasant. Congratulations. Oh, it was sickening. You know, I've got a couple of sound bites from Arizona Senator John Kyle. What a creep he is. And it was all I could do just to keep lunch down while I was listening to that putrescent, pitiful excuse for a member of the human race from Alabama, Jeff Sessions. Ooh! You know, it doesn't say much for the status of legal education in the state of Alabama that Jeff Sessions is a lawyer. What a mealy-mouthed little... And then, you know, there was Alito's statement himself, you know, trying to come up there and just be as geeky as possible, as unthreatening, you know, unassuming. Hello? I'm happy to be here today. Let me relate a story. No, I'm not kidding. He did this. Let me relate a story that I was thinking about this week as I contemplated my confirmation hearings. There was a story about a man who was making his... you've been around these people. You know, people who have no sense of humor and no sense of timing. Timing is everything in humor. And they'll try to tell a joke and just can't do it. I want to tell you this story. It's a very funny story. My wife laughed a lot when I told it to her. You know those kind of people. Well, that's the kind of person he tried to bring himself across as today. And he told I've heard the story too. A lawyer is making his first appearance before the Supreme Court, and the judge asked him, you know, how did you get here? And the guy's so flummoxed he can't, you know. Well, and the answer is, well, you know, we tried this in the circuit court, and then we appealed it through the district court, and we appealed this through the Fourth Circuit, and blah, 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 and certiorari, and that's the answer. But he's so flummoxed, he said, the judge asked him, how did you get here? And he says, on the Baltimore and Ohio Railroad. That's the story that Alito told today. Only, believe me, it wasn't half as funny, and that wasn't funny when I told it. It wasn't even that funny when Alito told it. It's the equivalent of the guy who, in New York, who's walking down the street and asks a New Yorker, how do I get to Carnegie Hall? And the guy looks at him and goes, practice, practice. It's that joke. Oh, it was a sad and tiresome affair, you know, and you know, God bless the Democrats who did stand up and at least say that they had a few problems, but we need... And it doesn't just apply to this hearing, or this series of hearings, these hearings. It doesn't apply just to this. We need some bare-knuckled senators who understand that they are dealing with punks and thugs who only respond to force. They do not understand niceness. They don't understand gentlemanliness. Because at the same time that you're sitting, well, you know, welcome, Samuel Alito, I understand that your father was brought here as an infant from Italy and that he raised himself up by his bootstraps in the blah, 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 blah. Newsflash to the Democratic senators. While you're sitting there doing that, you know what Alito's doing? That snarky, little, weasley, wimpy-looking, geeky sort of... You know that kid got beat up every day of his life on the playground when he was growing up, and he's getting even with us all now. Because while you're sitting there saying, well, you know, I certainly hope we'll have... Blah, 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 and we'd like to have some answers. He's sitting there going... He's in the back of his mind, oh, God... I'm going to get my hands on a couple of cases, and you won't be able to go to the bathroom, Senator, without the president knowing about it, because we're going to watch everything you do. You know, he's into that. You know that, don't you? So, let's take a quick break. And when we come back, your phone calls. The phone number, of course, you know that, 877, the number 4, Head On. 877-443-2366. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid.
You put your keys between your knuckles. You walk in well-lit areas. Stay clear of parked vans. Someone approaches you and you cross to the other side of the street. Your cell phone is ready. The numbers for help saved on speed dial. You lock the door behind you. Once, twice, maybe three times. Now you feel safe, secure. You think you've made the right choices to protect yourself. Think again. Because if you're not making healthy choices, you could be one of the nearly 2 out of 3 women killed by cancer, diabetes, heart disease, or stroke. So eat right, get active, don't smoke, see your doctor, and live. Learn to protect yourself from yourself at 1-866-399-6789 or visit us at everydaychoices.org. A message from the American Cancer Society, American Diabetes Association, American Heart Association, and the Ad Council.
Hey, have you got a minute? I'm going to say a word. You tell me what comes to mind. Are you ready?
Okay.
Tchaikovsky.
Gesundheit. Okay, what's the word?
No, see, that is the word. What does Tchaikovsky make you think of?
I don't know. Allergy season?
Hey there, how you doing?
What's up?
Who's Martha Graham?
She invented the graham cracker.
No kidding.
Yeah, before her there was only soda crackers.
Hard to imagine. Hey, young lady.
Yeah?
Does the name Man Ray mean anything to you?
Duh. The man ray is a kind of poisonous jellyfish, and it lives in the Gulf of Mexico.
Aha.
It's very deadly.
Are your kids as well-rounded as they could be? Kids who participate in the arts do better in school and in life. To learn more about the value of arts education, visit AmericansForTheArts.org. Because all kids should get to appreciate Tchaikovsky's music, Martha Graham's dance, and Man Ray's photography. Art. Ask for more. A public service message brought to you by Americans for the Arts and the Ad Council.
Miners and mine operators understand the dangers inherent in working at a mine site. They also know how to avoid those hazards, but will they do it? Hello, I'm Bob Friend with the Mine Safety and Health Administration. Many recent fatalities in the mining industry have resulted from bad safety decisions. For example, one victim fell from an elevated platform because he was not wearing a safety line. Tragedies like this don't have to happen if everyone in the mining workplace thinks about the job and makes the right decision. Safety begins with you. If you're about to perform electrical work, lock out and tag out before you start the work. Make the right decision. If you're a truck driver, you can choose whether to wear the seat belt. Make the right decision. MSHA's message to you is make the right decision in the mining workplace. Decide to be safe. Thank you for listening.
Welcome back. Almost 20 minutes after the hour, this is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid, my lovely wife Agnes at the controls of the Heart of the Sun. And let's go straight to the phones. Jim is with us. Hey, Jim, you're Head On.
Good evening, Bob.
How are you?
5 by 5. Yourself?
About the same.
Yeah, when you mentioned the Statue of Liberty, I remember that scene in Midnight Cowboy when John Voight asked Sylvia Miles, "Hey, ma'am, you know where I could buy the Statue of Liberty?" And she replies, Yeah, it's up in Central Park. Take it a leak. If you hurry, you can catch it before it hits the 5 o'clock metro. I've got something I want to read to you from Florence King, okay?
Okay.
It's a page, so just bear with me, okay?
All right.
I think you'll find it worth it. And this is an essay called Lump It or Leave It.
Okay.
And this deals with abortion. The four nagging questions of the anti-abortion stance are rape, incest, birth defects, and the life and health of the mother. Putting myself in each of these positions, my feeling about the first would depend upon what kind of rape it was. Date or acquaintance rape is a phenomenon of the sexual revolution. And so far into my experience that I can't think of anything to say about it. In my day, when a woman told a man to stop, he stopped. Teasing was not my bag. I never saw any reason to go out with a man unless I'd already decided to go to bed with him. So except for one or two unusual occasions, I always finished what I started. Violent rape by a stranger would make me feel that the baby was his, not mine. The alienation of the rape would extend to the baby because I had nothing to do with the rape and the baby would have nothing to do with me. Yet, yes, I would want an abortion. And if I didn't get it, I would want to throw the baby off the cliff. But as I contemplated infanticide, my tendency to intellectual cud-chewing would kick in and frame some cautionary hypothetical questions. Who among us is not a descendant of at least one violent rape? I once discussed this with a Jewish woman, and our off-the-cuff thumbnail histories of our respective mother countries produced some sobering reflections. Did not every single one of her ancestresses escape those centuries of drunken Cossacks? Surely not. This is probably because while this dispersed and persecuted people developed a matrilinear legal system, the child of a Jewish woman must be considered Jewish because chances are good that the father might not have been. And I, the English, managed to keep a straight face when both that England has never been invaded, but I'm sure that my ancestors would beg to differ. Roman soldiers raped Celtic women, Saxons raped British women, Normans raped Saxon women, and Vikings raped a pile of rock if they thought there was a snake underneath it. Somewhere in all this nefarious nation building, I became me instead of somebody else. So would I throw that baby off the cliff? I just don't know.
That's pretty neat.
Listen, you need to get Confessions of a Failed Southern Woman and the Florence King Reader.
I'll have to see if the library can get that in for me.
Well, I'll tell you something. She is an incredible writer and writes like, you know, no one. She is a very, very funny version. She's in the same class as Molly Ibbins, okay?
Yeah. Sounds like it. Sounds
but
like
I
it.
But, I mean, when she says, when she, and, you know, she just, I mean.
I like the line about the Vikings, although I got to admit, Agnes gave me a dirty look over that because she's got Norse background.
Well, you see that thing, that advertisement for Bank One or whatever it is.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And all we want was our dignity.
Yeah.
Well, anyway.
It's been particularly bad for Ethelbert this year.
Yeah, I'm afraid so. Well, I mean, this woman has received accolades from just about everybody. She's written for many, many papers, and she's, I'm not sure what she's doing now, but I've actually talked to her on the phone.
Well, you know, Jim, I spent a lot of time thinking this weekend about the whole Alito thing, and I have formulated this thesis that I've put forward several times in the last few weeks, to wit that every Republican policy has some level of bigotry underneath it. But the more I think about it, I think their policy with regard to abortion and their policy with regard to women in general is their most bigoted.
Well, yeah,
they live in terror of empowered women.
Yeah, they do. I mean, he did put that little thing on his application back in 1985 that's coming back to haunt him with the Democrats. I know that.
Yeah.
And if he tries to go back on that, the conservatives are going to eat him alive. And so, I mean, you know, we'll just wait and see.
Well, I ran across this one story, Jim, and you with Florence King's essay there kind of bring it to light. Dateline Tehran, January 7th. An Iranian court has sentenced a teenage rape victim to death by hanging after she weepingly confessed that she had unintentionally killed a man who had tried to rape both her and her niece. Now, what we have to understand is these are religious fundamentalists, and this is the same kind of justice that the Falwells and the Dobsons and the Christian Reconstructionists and the Dominionists would like to bring to America.
Ooh, that's kind of heavy, really.
Well, you know, but what I'm trying to get at is the Muslims don't have a lock on this. All you got to do is go through the first four or five books of the Old Testament, and that there's somebody getting stoned, and I don't mean the good way. You know, every two or three pages.
Yeah, I know.
And he did say the name of the Lord, and they did stone him outside the city gates. You know, it just goes on and on and on.
Right, absolutely. Well, it's just. Well, these people are just atavistic in their approach to just about everything. But I think that Mr. Alito is going to have some trouble. And I just love it that Tom DeLay is out on his butt.
Well, that's nice. But, doggone it, I don't know how much trouble Alito's going to have. There's the lay down. My God, Frank Lautenberg. New Jersey Democrat senator introduced Alito today. You know, could he not say that, you know, he heard his mother calling or he was, you know, late for a train, you know, had to see a man about a dog, something about that, something like that, you know, anything to keep from happening.
Well,
Frank Lautenberg.
Well, did he speak of him in glowing terms or did he just introduce him?
It was glowing enough. It was, you know, what a fine man he is, blah, 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 son of immigrant parents, yada, yada, yada.
Introduce him. You know, I'd be glad to do that. You know what? But I would vote for the SOB.
Well, that's the thing, though. I think if they let you introduce him, you kind of have to promise to vote for him, because Lautenberg voted for him before when he was nominated to the Third Circuit.
Well, I'm just hoping that sometime, you know, maybe they have some type of in run they can do around some of these people, because they certainly hadn't done it around them. But I'll tell you one thing, and this is an optimistic note: the numbers of the people who want a change in Congress is the same thing it was back in 1994.
Yeah, it is.
So basically, that's 42%. And who knows, we could have some fantastic changes in this Congress. So maybe we'll
hope you're right.
Maybe we'll have a repeat of 1994, except it'll be in the Democratic favor, because, good God, look what they've done since they've been in power in the past. Since 94. One bad thing after another.
Yeah, the barbarians have gotten inside the gates, without a doubt. Jim, we've got to hit it, though. Have yourself a great night, all right?
Thank you. Bye.
Take care. And when we come back, more calls. This is Head On. I'm Bob.
Found out my jeans were made using child labor in sweatshops, I wrote a letter to the company saying, reconsider your labor practices. A few months later, I get a letter back saying, thanks for being a loyal customer, and they included a coupon for a 25% discount on their jeans. So I got smart, wrote letters every day to all the stores that carry the brand, asking them to stop supporting the companies who use child labor in sweatshops. And I just kept getting letters back thanking me for my concerns and more coupons for more discounts on more jeans. So I'm telling my friend about it, and she flips out, saying that between all the letters and coupons, some paper company cut down a small forest, driving off two indigenous tribes, hundreds of endangered animals, killing thousands of plant species, some of which may have contained vaccines for HIV, cancer, and syphilis. Meanwhile, the guys cutting down the trees are 13-year-old kids who work night and day for months just to save up enough money to buy a pair of jeans made by child labor in sweatshops.
Saving the world isn't easy, but saving a life is. Just one pint of blood can save up to 3 lives. Visit bloodsaves.com to learn more. This public service announcement was brought to you by the Ad Council.
When you have a stroke, you may not even notice it right away. But then, time passes, and the symptoms get worse. One minute you feel fine, and the next, your speech could be slurred or not make sense. One side of your body might become numb. You might see double. You drop the TV remote because you can't hold up your arm. That's because, after a stroke, every minute you don't get help is another minute that your brain is being starved of oxygen. The warning signs of a stroke include sudden numbness or weakness of the face, arm, or leg, sudden trouble seeing, speaking, or understanding. If you experience any of these warning signs, call 911 immediately, because time lost is brain lost. Visit strokeassociation.org or call 1-888-4-STROKE today. A public service announcement from the American Stroke Association and the Ad Council.
Welcome back. Let's see, the second half hour of the first hour. Yeah, okay. It's Monday night. God, I'm glad to be back. Glad to have you guys along. A quick program note. No show tomorrow. No live show tomorrow night. We'll run one of the better ones in the archives tomorrow night. I have to be away for some business stuff. I would rather be here, but trust me, sometimes these things are unavoidable. At any rate, I hope you'll join us tomorrow night. You might hear something you didn't hear before. But Wednesday, fresh and live as can be, for a nice little prayer meeting edition. So please bear that in mind. It's a program note. Make a note of it. 28 minutes before the hour, let's go back to the phone. David is with us. Hey, David, you're head on.
Good evening, Bob.
How are you?
So the Sammy the Vote Alito circus began today.
Yeah.
No pomp and circumstance. Came out with some nice little pats on the back and, you know, a little guide down the aisle by some of the Democrats. And then he sat down and he did his version of how do you get to Carnegie Hall. Huh?
Yeah, it's exactly what it was. I mean, you know. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. You know, what we've got to do, and I want to approach this from a couple of angles, but what we, the progressives, have got to do, when he sits there all nerdy and all mealy-mouthed, and, you know, you've got to forget the fact of feeling any pity for that guy, that because on a playground where he grew up, everybody pointed at him and went, what a chump. I want some lunch money. All right,
yeah.
Let's forget about that. He's made enough money now. He's got a wife. He's got children. He's overcome all of that. When he's doing those little, how far is it to Carnegie Hall? What you've got to do is just, you've got to reverse the disguise that these people wear. You've got to be hearing him say, in his meaning and his voice, I'm fully in favor of that retarded employee getting it up the bum. And because his protestations weren't those of a normally faculty person, I couldn't care less about his case in court. And yes, that little girl, we might have a slightly better bust there in whatever little town it was. So strip that 10-year-old and double check those orifices. And oh, she's 17 by her father. Well, I want to see that coat hanger where it really needs to be. That's what we need to remember, what that ugly, devilish, incredibly bright but devilish man. That's what the man is saying.
Yeah. Behind the sort of Wally Cox exterior, and that's, you know, he honest to God, he reminds me of him. Behind that.
The heart of the alien.
Yeah. Yeah, it beats, you know, something foul and vile and not human. And we need to talk about that. Now, I did something today, and it was really, really creepy, David. I started calling Republican members of the Senate Judiciary Committee. I identified myself. I said, and I just wanted to let the senator know that since I'm a man's got Christian family values, you know, I watched Justice Sunday yesterday, and they said to call. So I'm calling, and I just wanted to let you know that I'm a man with Christian family values, and I don't support a man for the Supreme Court that supports strip searching little 10-year-old girls. And that's what Alito did, and I sure do hope Senator Sessions will have the good common sense to vote against this man.
Good for you.
And I did it with Orrin Hatch, and I did it with Arlen Specter. And, I mean, you know, play their cards against them. America needs to know about these two cases.
Well, of course they do.
The Christians, The Christians are obviously appalled. The religion industrialists, the Southern Baptists, the Pentecostals, the people that follow Dobson and Falwell and Robertson, this crowd, they need to be confronted directly with the facts of this case. And again, like I said, like cross-examination, do you support a man who supports strip-searching 10-year-old little girls without a warrant? Do you support a man who sanctions broom handle rape of retarded people? Do you do it? Then okay, fine. And you're a Christian, right? Okay, good. Now we know you for the devil you are.
They want an up or down vote. We should get a yes or no answer.
Yeah.
We should get a yes or no answer to those questions. And if he lies, he should be hit with it. Because,
well, if he lies, he should be removed from the bench entirely. You know, it's not like this guy goes on mustard sandwiches and cold canned beans if he doesn't get on the Supreme Court. He's got a tasty little salary sitting there screwing people in the Third Circuit.
Oh, he's not going to want for very much. And now then that he's been anointed into the inner circle of those that are qualified, he has pulled the brass ring. In a phone call to any one of several numbers, and he can have any monetary thing he can even come close to legitimizing. But I was really happy to hear Jim say that based on his walking around and looking around and listening around, he feels there's a wave of sentiment headed the Republicans' way, similar to, if not greater than, that ugly tide that in 94 swept all these devils into our midst. Because we've got to do that. The fact that I heard several talking heads this weekend say, well, DeLay is going to step down by the end of the week, da 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 da. And now then we've got Abramoff on the run, and he's already confessed. Just because, let's say DeLay leaves the Congress. Let's say Abramoff goes up for years and fingers five or six more. Bob, all it's going to do is be healthy, ugly, strong. I shouldn't say healthy. I should say vigorous and incredibly powerful reptile that is the Republican Party. When Abramoff goes, when DeLay goes, it's the shedding of a skin.
Yeah.
That we have not eliminated a threat. It's the shedding of a skin.
Well, it's the lopping off of a head of the Hydra. You know, when you lop off one, two grow in its place.
Even better. Even better. So just like Wayne has preached for days and weeks and maybe before that, whether he knew it or not, it's time to get active. You've got to do what you did today. You've got to do what all of us do, which is confront somebody, badger somebody, donate where we think it might matter, engage people in discussion in the workplace. We've got to fight back, because if we don't, it's just, I personally don't think Alito is stoppable. What we've got to do, though, is make sure that there is a frame with his bullet point. He's got to be framed by the greatest little PowerPoint presentation ever. I am in favor of broomstick rape if it happens to a guy that really doesn't matter and doesn't contribute to the Republican Party.
And if finding for that man endangers one of my, you know, crony capitalist pals.
Exactly. I want to support corporate. I want to support corporatists at the for any reason whatsoever to make sure that even though they do this, that, or the other, it shouldn't matter. I want to make sure the coal families can't sue. I want to make sure the 10-year-old girls, just to bump up a drug arrest or whatever the reason was, get strip searched. I want to make sure that everybody knows I wasn't kidding in 1985 when I said Roe v. Wade must go. We've got to make sure it's on the record. So when America really wakes up, and I do think America might be, and I hope we go through stages of awareness and then activity and then demand.
Well, what I don't understand about Alito, David, and I agree with you wholeheartedly, but what I don't understand about the right's fascination with him, this guy is the greatest dissenter, I believe, in the history of the Third Circuit. This guy, I mean, he's another L. Paul Bremer. He's another Tommy Franks. He's been promoted for screwing up. He doesn't get cases right on the Third Circuit, and the Third Circuit is no bastion of liberalism. He is consistently wrong. The case involving the strip search of the 10-year-old girl, you know who he was dissenting against? You know who wrote the majority opinion in that case?
Yes, I do, and I can't think of it.
Skeletor. Michael Chertoff.
Oh, that's right, that's right, that's right, that's right.
What does that tell you about how wrong, how bass-ackward, how absolutely incalculably, just 180 degrees this requires post-Einsteinian physics to calculate how wrong this guy is.
So the guy that is more dangerous to America than the man that's killing New Orleans ought to be on the Supreme Court. Gotcha. I've made a little note of it. I'm going to put that on the fridge right now.
Yeah, I mean, that's it's a framing issue, but yeah, he can be stopped. And the way I look at things, if you look at the approval rating of Congress right now and the Republican leadership in Congress, look at the president's numbers, look at the insider trading scandal that the cat killer, your senator, I have to rub that in, that your senator, is involved in. All these things, if we cannot, with all of these factors together, if we cannot filibuster, Sammy Bad Breath, we can't filibuster anybody. And the Democrats in the Senate can just go the hell home.
Well, I hope they do. I hope enough comes out that they can be, according to Wayne's wonderful Serbian world, emboldened. I hope both can be found, and I hope they can be in evidence when it's time to stand up and go, you know what? We need to really, really dig our heels in. We need to fight one hell of a battle right here, right now. We've got to make this president and all of these people really understand this man is ugly. And I see now why they wanted him dealt with, you know, the day after they nominated him. They wanted it to go to the floor the day after he was nominated. No, 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 let's not really look. We'll tell you what you need to know later if we decide to do it all.
Yeah.
And what little we can find out, there's more than enough to know to push him out the door.
Yeah. Well, you can't tell me that this was the... Well, first of all, I feel if he was anything but a monster, I could feel sorry for him. Can you imagine this guy is actually... he's not the first choice for this slot. He's not the second choice for this slot. At best, he's the third best that they could come up with. How does that feel?
He doesn't care. He's never finished first in anything he ever did.
That's not what it's about.
He wants that job more than he wants to be the right person for the job. He wants to fit into the neocon megalith. Look what he wrote in his job application 20 thinking years ago.
Oh, I know. And, you know, I get the sense that there's a little bit of Sally Field somewhere down inside Sammy Alito, David. You know, he wants to finish the confirmation process and stand up and take the oath of the Supreme Court and say, you like me. You really, really like me. Because no one ever has.
Oh, I think you're right. Well, it's going to be great theater. It's going to be fabulous theater. And I hope enough points come out that our party can develop a backbone and realize they really, really desperately need to fight back vigorously and go ahead. If they can put together their nuclear option, force them to it.
Yeah, call their damn bluff. and then when we get back to power, beat them to death over it every chance we get. Sorry, we've got a nuclear option. You're in the minority now, sucker. You don't get to play. It works for me.
I enjoy the thought. I hope we can get that far.
I do, too. Hey, David, we got to take our break. Always so good to hear from you.
Thanks for the chance, Bob.
Take care.
Talk to you later.
And a quick break. We'll be back. David used the word in this discussion. Valido used the word anoint. Wait till you hear. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid.
Last year, right?
Yes.
He died of lung cancer that spread to his bones. He was 95 years old. Apparently, his bones have been or were stolen. Apparently, there's a ring of people out there that steal bones. They steal these bones and they make dental implants. Apparently, now he had cancer all in his bones, right? But the people who stole the bones rewrote the paperwork to make it look like he died of a heart attack. So now there's somebody else walking around out there with his diseased, cancerous bones in their body.
That is freaky.
Yeah, I just thought it was so...
Oh my God.
I thought it was so ghoulish.
It just freaks me out. Anyway.
Hey, don't forget to join Bruce and I Saturday, 10 p.m. Eastern Time for the next edition of Fourth Estate Radio. Get the streaming details at fourthestateradio.com. That's fourthestateradio.com.
Hey friends, Eric Estrada here. Just like you, I'm really into engines. But there's something else that I'm into even more. Taking care of the planet. I bet you didn't know that motor oil from one oil change dumped in a drain or on the ground can contaminate 1 million gallons of fresh water. That means that if we don't recycle it, we could be drinking it. So take your used oil to your nearest recycling center or call toll-free 1-800-CLEANUP. Remember, if you dump it, you'll drink it.
Want to fight childhood asthma? Then fight it with a scrub brush and a hot soapy towel. Even in the neatest and tidiest homes, if there's so much as a crumb to eat or a drop to drink, household pests like bugs and mice will do all that they can to get it. Creepy crawlies like bugs and mice are unpleasant enough as it is, but they're more than just a nuisance for kids with asthma because they can actually trigger an asthma attack. So, give them a whole lot of nothing. Sweep up crumbs, wipe down tables, scrub dishes before they pile up in the sink, and store leftovers in plastic bags or bowls. Don't leave them so much as one tidbit or nibble, and you can stop a childhood asthma attack before it starts. Discover other simple ways to prevent an asthma attack. Call 1-866-NO-ATTACKS or visit noattacks.org, because no child should feel like a fish out of water. A public service message brought to you by the U.S. EPA, the Ad Council, and this station.
Dad, can I ask you something?
Sure.
There's this girl I kind of like.
Say no more.
You just have to impress her. Okay, but how?
Just, I don't know, pick up a lot of heavy things around her.
Like what?
You know, desks, chairs, people. Grunt if you have to.
Grunt?
Yeah, be like, There you go.
You don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. When you adopt a child from foster care, just being there makes all the difference. To learn more, call 1-888-200-4005. A public service announcement brought to you by Adopt U.S. Kids, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.
They don't get enough food.
So it's about 11 and a half minutes before, 10 and a half minutes before the hour. See, I can't do math on the fly. I'm Bob Kincaid. This is Head On. Your phone calls are welcome at 877-4-HEAD-ON, 877-443-2366. As I noted before the break, David in our conversation mentioned the fact that Alito was anointed by the weirdo right. He knew not of what he spoke. From the Wall Street Journal, and a right-wing rag like the Wall Street Journal certainly wouldn't lie about a story like this. From the January 5th edition, insisting that God certainly needs to be involved. Can you imagine the three Christian ministers? No, they're not. They're religion industry ministers. There's nothing Christian about them. They insisted that God, first of all, they call themselves Christians, they call themselves ministers, and they insist that God certainly needs to be involved. Who the hell are they to tell God what to do and what to be involved in? They drag God around like a little red wagon, don't they? But they blessed the doors on January 5th of the hearing room, the Senate Judiciary Committee hearing room. They threw oil on the doors. Now, I don't know if it was tongue oil or canola or Crisco or olive. You know, these cheap bastards probably couldn't spring for a nice bottle of walnut oil. Okay, dear, extra virgin olive oil. Never mind. There's an Immaculate Conception joke in there somewhere. Now, this is the pride. This is the hubris. This is the utter disregard for, you know, we've got these hearings going on, and, you know, the John Kyle did it. God, he's disgusting. That senator from Arizona said, you know, this must be about the rule of law. Freak. Okay, if it's about the rule of law, then explain to me why these three ministers, Capitol Hill police barred them from entering the room to continue what they called a consecration service. Bastards. They want to consecrate in the name of their religion and their God the Senate chambers of the United States. I resent that. Because, as far as I can tell, they just call him God. They spell it G-O-D, you know, backwards it's D-O-G, whatever. As far as I can tell, they worship Satan. Because they've made Christ into something Christ wouldn't recognize. So they consecrated the doors of the Senate Judiciary Committee chamber with oil, and then Capitol Police ran them off. But here's why I asked what I, you know, no regard for the rule of law. The three announced that they had let themselves in a day earlier, touching holy oil to the seats where Judge Alito, the senators, witnesses, Senate staffers, and the press will sit, and praying for each of the 13 committee members by name.
You realize that's witchcraft, don't you?
Yeah, it is witchcraft, isn't it?
Yes, it is, and it's destruction of federal property.
Well, it's—I don't know that it destroyed, but it certainly is trespass.
Oh, that seriously? I mean, they're against Harry Potter and what they're doing there.
Well, but see, I kept watching today, dear, as the hearings were taking place. I kept looking to see if Alito had to sort of shove himself back up in the seat because he was slipping on the Crisco. Now, see, these three creeps ought to be arrested and charged with trespass. Do you remember Cindy Sheehan? Of course you do. You remember how Cindy Sheehan was arrested and prosecuted for criminal trespass for just sitting down on the sidewalk in front of the Capitol? You remember how all the real Christian ministers were arrested and carted away for trespass? For simply standing outside the Capitol and protesting this heinous Republican budget. Do you remember that? Why aren't these people being charged with trespass? They've confessed. I'll tell you why. Because if you charge them with trespass, they're going to cry that they're being persecuted for their beliefs. Let me explain something to the religion industry real quick. When the emperor has a locust fence post jammed up your butt and sticks it into the ground along the Appian Way and lights you up as street lights for the for the road, when you are literally thrown to the wild beasts and torn limb from limb, that's persecution. having to choose paper over plastic at the grocery store isn't. Having a nation that doesn't let you ram your beliefs down everybody else's throats is not persecution. That's America. You know, this Christian persecution, damn him straight to hell, Jerry Falwell talked about how they were being persecuted. No, they weren't. You know, when Jesus said something about, "And you shall be persecuted for my name's sake," Jesus lived in a time when persecution meant that they hauled your ass up on a hill, nailed your hands into a board and your feet into the fence post, and let you hang there, and if they were merciful, they broke your legs so you'd die a little quicker. That's persecution. That's what Christ was talking about. He wasn't talking about some scenario whereby, you get busted for soliciting a gay hooker in a parking lot in Tulsa, in Oklahoma City. Make sense? Well, it does to the normal people, you guys, the people who listen. It doesn't make any... No, the Christians are persecuted in America. Yeah, right, gotcha. Let's go to the phones. Ben's with us. Hey, Ben, you're head on.
Hey there, Bob.
How you doing?
Just fine. You know, on the subject of anointing oil, there are scholars who agree generally that the anointing oil referred to in the Bible almost certainly was based on a number of oils, including essential essence of the hemp plant.
Really?
Yes. And that this is part of the sort of initiatory thing that kings went through, is they would be anointed with this oil that would make them higher than a kite. So I'm quite sure that, you know, the oil that Ashcroft anoints himself with and the oil these people anoint the doors with.
Yeah, Crisco doesn't get it done.
Absolutely not biblical at all.
No, and this is Old Testament stuff too, isn't it, Ben?
Yep. This is Old Testament stuff.
Because, I mean, while I guess Jesus got his feet wiped down with myrrh or something.
Mm-hmm.
I don't recall any other oil anointings on Jesus. Do you recall any?
I really don't. The gifts of the three wise men, I don't recall him ever actually having been anointed with those. So no.
It's the incident where Mary Magdalene wipes his feet down with her hair or something. But apart from that, the anointing business is strictly Old Testament, and that's the way these guys are. You hear people referred to as by the right wing as cafeteria Christians. These are cafeteria theocrats. You know, they want to wear that Dacron polyester blend, and they want to eat their lobster. But no gay people.
Yep.
Higher than a kite. I love that. You know, and that makes sense. You know, the king needs to be a little closer to God, and if you really get the good face on, I guess, you know, back in those days, they didn't understand you were altering your brain chemistry. They weren't, you know, that advanced. They just thought they were seeing God.
You betcha.
Mercy.
You take care, sir.
You too, Ben. Later. Oh. Then again, the idea of John Ashcroft or Phelps or Dobson all stoned up, those would be some, you know, generally people who, you know, partake of cannabinoids aren't nasty people. These guys would be. They'd start seeing angels and demons and devils and... the very thought of Jerry Falwell on acid. No, I'm not even going to go there. But I would like to know why these people can get away in a nation of laws and not of men. Why can these people get away with announcing that they have flagrantly disregarded the laws of the United States of America and not be charged? Why? You tell me. Let's take our top of the hour break when we come back. Oh, lots more fun. Not the least of which, maybe a little further delving into this Iranian case. A land that they would like to turn America into, they being the religious right. This is Head On. I'm Bob.
Yes and no, I'm gonna kiss. Some part of I'm gonna keep. This secret, I'm gonna...
Hey friends, Eric Estrada here. Just like you, I'm really into engines, but there's something else that I'm into even more. Taking care of the planet. I bet you didn't know that motor oil from one oil change dumped in a drain or on the ground can contaminate 1 million gallons of fresh water. That means that if we don't recycle it, we could be drinking it. So take your used oil to your nearest recycling center or call toll-free 1-800-CLEANUP. Remember, if you dump it, you'll drink it.
Want to fight childhood asthma? Then fight it with a scrub brush and a hot soapy towel. Even in the neatest and tidiest homes, if there's so much as a crumb to eat or a drop to drink, household pests like bugs and mice will do all that they can to get it. Creepy crawlies like bugs and mice are unpleasant enough as it is, but they're more than just a nuisance for kids with asthma because they can actually trigger an asthma attack. So, give them a whole lot of nothing. Sweep up crumbs, wipe down tables, scrub dishes before they pile up in the sink, and store leftovers in plastic bags or bowls. Don't leave them so much as one tidbit or nibble, and you can stop a childhood asthma attack before it starts. Discover other simple ways to prevent an asthma attack. Call 1-866-NO-ATTACKS or visit noattacks.org, because no child should feel like a fish out of water. A public service message brought to you by the U.S. EPA, the Ad Council, and this station.
So if you believe in that God, and if you believe in those spiritual tenets, as 80% of these people that I just read in this poll supposedly say they believe in them, you know, is that fantasy world, or is that real world? I mean, if they really believe in those tenets, if they really believe in that religion, if they really believe in that Christ, then why do we have a war going on? And why do we have people starving? And why do we have people homeless? And why do we have, you know, all of this injustice in society? And why are African Americans killed at 3 times the rate of white Americans in our prisons in execution chairs? I'll tell you why. Because we have a long way to go to make this society an equitable one. We have a long way to go to create the kind of society that our spiritual principles tell us we need to have.
Hey, this is Bruce Birch, and I'd like to invite you to join me each and every Sunday evening at 10 p.m. Eastern for All Things Reconsidered, the weekly program that takes a progressive look at the week in politics. For connection information and archives of all of my shows, point your browser to allthingsreconsidered.org. That's allthingsreconsidered.org.
Stop. It is time for you to let
It's your second hour in the Liberal Sandbox, and you're head on with Bob Kincaid.
Welcome back. Coming up on 6 minutes after the hour. Great to have you along. And I mean that sincerely. I don't know where the time goes, but this chat that we have every night is the fastest part of my day and that of Agnes as well. We enjoy it. Now, I said going into the break that in this hour I wanted to discuss just a little bit this. And, you know, there's nothing really new in this story. This isn't something novel. One of these stories comes out of the blossoming new democracy in Afghanistan every week or so. A co-ed school in Afghanistan was bombed into perdition this past week, you know, for letting those filthy females go to school with, you know, the better gender, the males. So there's no surprise, really, when you read a story coming out of Iran that a young woman who was the victim of rape has been sentenced to die because she killed her rapist. You know, she testified that it was even unintentional. But these are societies, and not as a function of religion, mind you. This isn't necessarily religion at work so much as it is culture and tribalism. This case arose in the northern Iranian city of Rasht. And culturally speaking, men are deemed better than women. Women are deemed to be second-class citizens. You see, because, well, that kind of misogyny is a function of fear. And I'll go past fear. I'll say it is a function of, indeed, terror. The men in question are terrified of women. Why? It's probably hundreds of thousands of years old. It goes back to the days when no one understood exactly what human bodily processes were all about, but women probably had a little better handle on it than men did. You know, as I've said 1,000 times over, men are very simple creatures. You know, give me eat, give me sex, give me house. And I believe that that women are somewhat more complex. Because they have to be. Mathematics was probably invented by women because they had to learn how to count days. And that's not a slur. That's just makes sense to me. So, in the city of Rasht in northern Iran, Delara Darabi was sentenced to death by hanging because she, at the tender age of 17 years old, fought off her rapist. Yes, dear.
It's sad to say that at 17, you would have to protect yourself from someone and your niece and then be hung for just taking care of your family.
Well, but again, we're talking about a situation in which women are not as human as men. All right, and the point I want to make here is that we are not, you know, Sammy Alito is not that far from, remember, a judge did this in Iran who was applying tenets of law. You know, the law can be perverse. And we have had situations in this country where the law was perverse. The law in this country deemed that a black human being was only 60% of a person. The law in this country to this day deems that how you have sex determines whether or not you can pass benefits on to your spouse. If you happen to be male and have sex with another male, that other male is not entitled, to things like Social Security based on your earnings. The same thing with women. They are perverse laws. They are bad laws. And it is not far, based on what he has written, it is not far, it is not a leap at all to imagine Sammy Alito upholding, you could put Sammy Alito in this court in Iran and he would rule the same way. He would rule the same way. Because being a Republican, he, in his bones, load him up with a little sodium pentothal and he'll tell you all about it. He loathes and fears women. Now, I don't know why. I like them. They're, well, never mind. But he does, and Bush does, and Gonzalez does. They loathe and they fear women, and when you take the ability of a man to more or less enslave a woman by virtue of sexual process, if you take that away from a Republican man, he feels threatened because he himself does not have enough self-worth to be able to justify his own existence. Look at Alito. My God, this is, and look, this, I'm not criticizing anybody's faith or anything. The man is a devout, I'm not saying this, we've been told this, baby. He is a devout Roman Catholic. He is a devout Roman Catholic that has been married for literally decades. He is a devout Roman Catholic who has been married for literally decades to the same woman. A devout Roman Catholic who has been married for decades to the same woman and only has two kids. Now think about that a second. This guy is being espoused by the right wing because they think he'll overturn Roe versus Wade because he's such a good Catholic. But if you're going to overturn Roe versus Wade, and I know this is a little complicated, you're going to have to overturn Griswold versus Connecticut, too. Griswold versus Connecticut is the case that establishes the right to privacy, not Roe. And Griswold versus Connecticut is the case that told women in Connecticut and in the United States in general that if they wanted to use contraception, they had a right to use contraception. And, it's not just women, it's men. It's the whole Monty Python skit about, I can go down to the pharmacists and buy a package of prophylactics for I am a Protestant. That skit also has the Eric Idle as the woman character saying, but dear, we've had sex twice and we have two children. This is what they're after. This is the assault of the sicko, perverse, hateful, wrong wing. Not the right wing, the wrong wing. The wrong wing on our country. No, it won't. No, if you get Sam, no. If you get Sammy Bad Breath, machine gun Sammy Bad Breath on the Supreme Court, we're not going to start hanging little girls for killing their rapists. Not now. Maybe not a year from now or a decade from now. But I'll tell you what, Sunshine. Falwell knows it. Robertson knows it. Dobson knows it. Kennedy knows it. All these right-wing religion industry creeps, wrong-wing religion industry creeps, know it. That maybe 100 or 200 years from now, if there's still a United States of America, that then they can get their wishes and we can start executing women. That is their dream. Yeah, dear.
There used to be a law, or maybe it's still there, but very archaic. A man could take his wife to the courthouse on Sundays and beat her in front of the courthouse.
With a rod no thicker than that of his thumb.
Exactly. Now, if women become chattel, once again, there are good men out there that would never treat their wives badly. But there are men and there are women who treat their spouses badly.
Direct quote from the Reverend Fred Phelps, dear. A good left cross makes a good wife.
And a good ball bat makes a man like that even better.
That is what you're dealing with. And don't tell me that Fred Phelps is out of the mainstream. Fred Phelps was ordained by the Baptist Church. And they have never, never called in their ordination. They have never rescinded it. They have never defrocked him, if Baptists have frocks, I don't know. They have never, never taken back their ordination. So they are complicit in what he does. And that reminds me, we got some Fred Phelps to talk about. Let's take a break and come back. This is Head On. You know me. Little old Bob Kincaid. Harmless. That's me.
Was that the intro I should have been in?
You put your keys between your knuckles. You walk in well-lit areas. Stay clear of parked vans. Someone approaches you and you cross to the other side of the street. Your cell phone is ready. The numbers for help saved on speed dial. You lock the door behind you. Once, twice, maybe three times. Now you feel safe, secure. You think you've made the right choices to protect yourself. Think again. Because if you're not making healthy choices, you could be one of the nearly 2 out of 3 women killed by cancer, diabetes, heart disease, or stroke. So eat right, get active, don't smoke, see your doctor, and live. Learn to protect yourself from yourself at 1-866-399-6789 or visit us at everydaychoices.org. A message from the American Cancer Society, American Diabetes Association, American Heart Association, and the Ad Council.
Hey, have you got a minute? I'm going to say a word. You tell me what comes to mind. Are you ready?
Okay.
Tchaikovsky.
Gesundheit. Okay, what's the word?
No, see, that is the word. What does Tchaikovsky make you think of?
I don't know. Allergy season?
Hey there, how you doing?
What's up?
Who's Martha Graham?
She invented the graham cracker.
No kidding.
Yeah, before her there was only soda crackers.
Hard to imagine. Hey, young lady.
Yeah?
Does the name Man Ray mean anything to you?
Duh. The man ray is a kind of poisonous jellyfish, and it lives in the Gulf of Mexico.
Aha!
It's very deadly.
Are your kids as well-rounded as they could be? Kids who participate in the arts do better in school and in life. To learn more about the value of arts education, visit AmericansForTheArts.org. Because all kids should get to appreciate Tchaikovsky's music, Martha Graham's dance, and Man Ray's photography. Art. Ask for more. A public service message brought to you by Americans for the Arts and the Ad Council.
Welcome back. 20 minutes past the hour, and, well, let's see. 6 of the Sago number 1 miners who were more or less murdered by International Coal Group through their, well, okay, not murdered, manslaughtered by their willful negligence were laid to rest today. By tomorrow they will have all been put back in the ground where they died. You know, I don't know. I think if I was an underground coal miner and I knew that, I think I'd tell somebody, if I die underground, for God's sakes, you know, float me out to sea, cremate me, don't put me back in the ground. But at any rate, by tomorrow they will have all been put to rest in various and sundry small ceremonies around the hills and hollers of Upshur County, Randolph County, West Virginia. And, we will be a long time sorting out exactly what happened. But we know that, in large part, Emsha got brownied. Yeah, you're doing a heck of a job, Brownie. Emsha got brownied. Only this was deliberate. Well, so was FEMA. Anything that the government can do and do well, Republicans oppose. You understand that. And, of course, if the Republicans have their way in hearings on the Sago disaster, you know damn good and well the upshot of it will be in the majority report. The upshot will be that MSHA failed. It won't be that the safety record at Sago was nearly three times as bad as the average similarly sized mine. No. No, that won't be it. It will be MSHA's fault. You know, Katrina works to the Republicans' advantage to a certain extent in the same manner. Well, Thamer failed. No, Brownie failed. Chertoff failed. Bush failed. It wasn't, you know, it's not the fault of the legislation or the enabling legislation or the administrative rules. It's the people who enforce those laws and rules. So, the Sago miners, like I said, laid to rest today. The rest will, the remainder will be laid to rest tomorrow. And on January the 15th, a week from yesterday, Sunday, next Sunday, there will be a memorial service at the Wesley Chapel at West Virginia Wesleyan College in Buchanan, West Virginia. Guess what? And you probably already know this, Fred Phelps and his weird cultish gang are planning on being there. They've got a flyer out. Judgment in West Virginia. Thank God for his outpoured wrath and for 12 dead miners. Now, I read this Friday night, and I wanted to hit something. I'm a peaceful guy. I'm not into the violent scene. But Fred Phelps really brings out the devil in me. Or maybe he brings out the avenging almighty God in me. Ooh, that's a little presumptuous, isn't it? Maybe. Yeah, look, the other side, hey, you know, we got a guy inside the United States Capitol trespassing and defacing public property with his his rejuvenated Holy Crisco, talking about, well, God needs to be involved, like he can, you know, like, hey, God, yeah, no, hey, turn the TV off, God, get off the couch, you slacker, get down here, you need to be involved in these Supreme Court hearings. God needs to be involved. We've forced God to be involved. We'll make God come down here. I mean, that's the way they are. So if they can, you know, sauce for the goose, sauce for the gander. But I understand. I can pray all day and nothing's going to happen to Fred Phelps because he's been doing this hateful crap for close to 40 years now and nothing's happened to him. The worst that's ever happened to Fred Phelps is a ringing disbarment by the State Bar of Kansas. That's it. That's all. That's all that's ever happened to Fred Phelps. So, if not him, some of his weirdo children, because he had like 13 kids, 9 of whom still speak to him, this Baptist minister. Some of them are planning on being at Wesley Chapel Camden Avenue and Meade Street in Buchanan, West Virginia, this Sunday. In this is what their flyer says. In religious protest and warning, God is not mocked. God hates fags and fag enablers. Ergo, God hates the Sago miners and is tormenting them in hell, hypocritical Tolmansville Village and West Virginia. You know, for starters, we're not I love my state. I love West Virginia. And I happen to be associated with a lot of really good and decent people around here. I make a concerted effort not to associate myself with the weirdos, but we've got plenty of them. I mean, we've got West Virginians for life. And they wouldn't, if a gay man was bleeding to death on the other side of the road, West Virginians for life wouldn't go across the street with a tourniquet. We are up to our neck in bigots in this state. The Attorney General of West Virginia, Daryl McGraw, his office instituted an anti-bullying program a few years ago, and the Good Family Values Christians came out of the woodwork to protest the program because it suggested that that schoolyard bullies using epithets like fag, lezzy, lesbo, queer boy. The program suggested that that not be tolerated, but the Christians came out of the woodwork to say, we like our children beating up the defenseless ones and calling them sexual epithets, because God tells us to. Yeah, so, you know, tolerance is not our long suit on the gay community in West Virginia. I mean, It's not like there's, you know, a gay bar on every corner, most rural counties, if you go looking or acting all effete into a bar on a Friday night in, Buchanan, you're gonna come out with some lumps on you. This is not a tolerant state. And yet Fred Phelps is calling the miners who died in that hell hole at Sago fag enablers. Yeah.
They claim it's their right to come and picket these funerals. Well, in West Virginia, the kin has a right too. And the friends of the kin.
But the kin and the friends of the kin will not be at this ceremony. That's why they picked this. They are cowards. They are gutless, pusillanimous cowards. They did not, you know, they wouldn't show up at these funerals that took place today and will take place tomorrow because some miner's wife would get out a rusty butcher knife and gut them like a deer and leave them for the dogs. No kidding.
They'll be there. And the thing of it is they'll have the SWAT teams to protect those pukes.
Yeah, that too.
When they're walking across hollering epitaphs that they don't even know anything about. And as far as being gay, what business is it of anybody's what your sexual preference is?
I know, dear. You know what goes on when the lights go out?
The one thing that I found, because, you know, I had somebody call me a Lizzie lover.
Well, wait, stop.
And what I've told them is that's fine. That's great. Thank you very much.
Well, before the break, the rest of the text. They worship dunghill fag gods on Brokeback Mountain, and their holy book is the Da Vinci Code, not the King James Bible. That dumb bastard Phelps he doesn't even know what he worships. He worships his own hate. And it is worth mentioning, and I'm sure some people understand, there is still something in this state called a fighting word statute. And maybe, just maybe, next Sunday, Phelps will have finally made the wrong trip. Because when you go to a fallen soldier's funeral, it's a little different than this. It's evil. Whatever. It's evil when he goes to the fallen soldier's funeral. It's evil when he goes to any funeral. But this is different. Because, I don't know. Maybe we're a little different. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid. Time for our Cup of Joe report.
Ezekiel 25:17. The path of the righteous man is beset on all sides by the inequities of the selfish and the tyranny of evil men. Blessed is he who in the name of charity and goodwill shepherds the weak through the valley of darkness, for he is truly his brother's keeper and the finder of lost children. And I will strike down upon thee with great vengeance and furious anger those who attempt to poison and destroy my brothers. And you will know my name is the Lord when I lay my vengeance upon thee.
I found out my jeans were made using child labor in sweatshops. I wrote a letter to the company saying, reconsider your labor practices. A few months later, I get a letter back saying, thanks for being a loyal customer, and they included a coupon for a 25% discount on their jeans. So I got smart and wrote letters every day to all the stores that carry the brand, asking them to stop supporting the companies who use child labor in sweatshops. And I just kept getting letters back thanking me for my concerns and more coupons for more discounts on more jeans. So I'm telling my friend about it, and she flips out, saying that between all the letters and coupons, some paper company cut down a small forest, driving off two indigenous tribes, hundreds of endangered animals, killing thousands of plant species, some of which may have contained vaccines for HIV, cancer, and syphilis. Meanwhile, the guys cutting down the trees are 13-year-old kids who work night and day for months just to save up enough money to buy a pair of jeans made by child labor in sweatshops.
Saving the world isn't easy, but saving a life is. Just one pint of blood can save up to 3 lives. Visit bloodsaves.com to learn more. This public service announcement was brought to you by the Ad Council.
When you have a stroke, you may not even notice it right away. But then, time passes, and the symptoms get worse. One minute you feel fine, and the next, your speech could be slurred or not make sense. One side of your body might become numb. You might see double. You drop the TV remote because you can't hold up your arm. That's because, after a stroke, every minute you don't get help is another minute that your brain is being starved of oxygen. The warning signs of a stroke include sudden numbness or weakness of the face, arm, or leg, sudden trouble seeing, speaking, or understanding. If you experience any of these warning signs, call 911 immediately, because time lost is brain lost. Visit strokeassociation.org or call 1-888-4-STROKE today. A public service announcement from the American Stroke Association and the Ad Council.
It's the Cup of Joe Report. I'm Joe Vecchio. The confirmation hearings on Judge Alito begin today, and whether he will actually become a Supreme Court justice remains to be seen. The battle to oppose him is just one front in a larger war that's been raging for the last 30 years, but it's an important one. Judges such as Alito, who have been appointed by the president, share his belief in the idea of an imperial presidency. Mr. Bush has already gone on record as saying that if he feels it necessary to break the law in order to win the war on terror, he will do so. This is no theory. He has already broken the law on several fronts, not just American law, but international law as well. When the Founding Fathers wrote the Constitution, they were trying to create a system whereby power would be distributed throughout the government because they knew from experience what happens when too much power falls into too few hands. The power of the president has risen and fallen over our 200-year history, but it seems to this observer that the balance the Constitution provides for is in serious jeopardy. Should Judge Alito become a Supreme Court justice, he will almost certainly rule in favor of more presidential power, especially if it's a president with whom he shares a radical ideological agenda. I hope the Democrats in Congress will have the courage to fight this appointment, because Supreme Court Justice Alito would be a bad thing for the whole country, Democrats and Republicans alike. When we place one person or group of people above the law, we have less control of our own lives and freedoms, and that goes against every principle this nation was founded upon. Now, get back to work. This has been the Cup of Joe Report by Joe Vecchio. Listen to the Cup of Joe radio show, available via streaming audio at cupojoe.blogspot.com.
I guess that's a little heavy-handed, isn't it? But, yeah, Agnes picked it out, and I think it was well done. A couple of emails. A question as to what the fighting words thing means. In this state, and maybe a few others, I'm not sure, mostly southern or western states, there is something called a fighting word statute. And the fighting word statute goes back, it goes back to a time when there were things you did not say to another individual without expecting to lose a few teeth. And hence the word fighting words. In other words, if somebody comes up to you and starts talking about your mama, for instance, it is conceivable that that could be deemed a fighting word, so that when you punched the other guy's lights out and they hauled you into court for, you know, battery because you threw the first blow, you said, "No, Your Honor, fighting words." Because the theory behind it is that there are some words, there are some accusations, there are some epithets that are so hateful that an ordinary, reasonable human being cannot be expected to maintain his cool, or hers, in the face of such words. Now, I would submit to you that Reverend Fred, or any of his weird little, you know, the church is made up mostly of his extended, possibly incestuous family. Any one of those who comes and puts a sign in front of a grieving, say, the brother of one of these dead miners that says, "God hates fags and that's why your loved ones died," those are fighting words. And, you know, I said we're not long on tolerance here in West Virginia anyway, where that kind of thing is concerned. Merely calling someone, which this could considerably be within, calling someone fag. I mean, you know, like I said, I love where we live, but, you know, we're rednecks. Big time. And there's been more than one bar fight start over fag. There's been more than one long neck bottle of Budweiser fag. Let's see what you had for lunch. You know what I mean? So that's where the fighting words come in. That, and frankly, if someone did that to Phelps or any of his, you know, I'm a man of peace, but not with him. Not with him. So that's how Fred could fall under the fighting word statute. Of course, you know, again, he'll have police protection. The police will protect him against the people who would exact some, what do we call it, rough justice. And our friend Peter writes in, please help me with this. What in the hell do the miners have to do with enabling gay folk? Well, I'm sure there must be a gay miner here and there. I don't think that's the connection. What is he saying? Well, Peter, what he's on about, he believes that everything bad that happened, first of all, he is enabled by hate. He is motivated by hate. If you read the biographical stuff on him, this guy, literally, he's a burned-out old speed freak, really. And you know what that does to your brain. But he is motivated and enabled by hate. And he believes that because we are, you know, he's not, again, this is another classic case, not a Christian, not a follower of the message of Christ. On his little flyer here, what does he quote? He quotes Deuteronomy. Because he cannot find this level of hatred in the New Testament. There's some pretty hateful stuff in there when you get around to the reading what St. Paul had to say. But nothing as, you know, "Then my anger shall be kindled against them in that day, and I will forsake them, and I will hide my face from them, and they shall be devoured, and many evils and troubles shall befall them." Okay? This is the kind of crap, and yeah, crap, that Phelps has to quote. All right? So, he believes that because we are not literally interning gay people. Phelps believes that because we're not executing gay people, that we are incurring the wrath of his demonic god. That's where the connection is. It wasn't that the miners were gay.
He's saying that the lightning strike, which we don't know for a fact,
was sent by God.
Was sent by God to kill the miners.
To kill the miners because America tolerates people. You know, I don't even have the language to deal with this. I can't get. And it's not a matter of I want to say dirty words and I can't. If I wanted to, I could pepper your computer speakers with every manner of vile word that I'd be ashamed for my mother, God rest her soul, to even know I knew how to use. That's not the problem. The problem here is that the idea of basing bigotry and prejudice and hate on sexual activity is so plain old-fashioned bizarre to me that I, for all of my training in the usage of the English language, can't really give it voice. I mean, humankind will do everything from slavery to apartheid to the country club to create groups where some can be and some can't. It's all sneeches. Dr. Seuss story, you know, we've talked about this. It's all exclusion. The minute that there were two human beings on earth, one tried to start figuring out why he was better than the other. And then everything went to hell once there was three. That's what we're dealing with here. Oh, let's see. It's the color of your skin. No, it's not the color of your skin. It's the kind of reproductive plumbing you have. No, it's not the plumbing. It's the color of your eyes. No, it's not the color of your eyes. It's the color of your hair. Wait a minute. You don't wear the right kind of clothes. Oh, look. You worship a different invisible cloud critter than I do. Wait. Here's the best one of all. It's how you have sex. Because sex is dirty to start with. You know, Mrs. Alito may turn out that, you know, she may be, I was talking about women probably invented mathematics. Well, Mrs. Alito probably must be really, really good at math because they've been married for a couple of decades and she's only got two kids. But that's heresy in her church, too. Every time you have sex, you're supposed to have a kid, I think. Oh, well. Because it's not, you know, study it. It's not for fun. You know, do not try this at home for fun and pleasure. This is only for procreation. Lie back and think of England, dear. Beige. I'll paint the ceiling beige. But you get the idea. Every time some form of bigotry arises, you know, progressives and liberals, decent people, start trying to stamp it out. I mean, can you imagine? I mean, for a moment, be an alien. You're in your alien spaceship, and you're looking down on planet Earth, and you've got the high-resolution cameras, and you look down, and you see Fred Phelps picketing about how some other groups of semi-savage humans, because, face it, we're savages, have sex. Huh? What? That's kind of where we are. And so, you know, it's human rights. This is all a human rights issue. Oh, and by the way, back when he was a lawyer, Fred Phelps had a little game he would play. Where he would work, this is the weird part. He made a living off of filing civil rights cases on behalf of African Americans. And in his church sermons, he would talk about how they were to be the servants of the servants. In other words, that they were to serve the white people who were to serve God. Did you hear that little slap? That was Agnes hitting herself in the head again. Be healed, Sister Agnes, be healed. Yeah, really, and he played this game. where when he was in court, he would work the two letters D-N. D-N into his orations. If you take just a second, you'll figure out. Now, remember, his clients are African Americans. You'll figure out what D-N stands for. The first word is dumb, and the second word is not allowed to be spoken in our home or in this studio. Again, please understand, Phelps is mainstream, bigoted conservative. Now, you can go ahead and throw in my face the fact that, yes, he's run on the Democratic ticket. Hell, he's running for president, I think. He's run for governor of Kansas. He's run for alderman, dog catcher, county surveyor, whatever. And he runs as a Democrat. I disavow that. I've said on a number of occasions, we progressives, we liberals, we will start defining who's a Democrat and who isn't. Fred Phelps is not a Democrat. Wilbur Ross, is owner of International Coal Group, is not a Democrat. And brother, they're both in the same book with me. They are no different. They are no different. So, you know, I hope you get where I'm going with all of this. Phelps is the poster child for the bigotry that conservatives espouse. If he wasn't, we wouldn't have to fight for hate crime legislation. If the Republican Party wasn't just absolute flop-eared bigoted, we wouldn't have any trouble at all making sure that people are not discriminated against over what goes on when the lights go out. If we did not live in a bigoted nation, we wouldn't be having this conversation. It wouldn't be necessary, and it would be superfluous. We must deal with the fact that this is a racist nation, this is a homophobic nation, this is a misogynistic nation, to at least some degree. Now, the majority of Americans support a woman's right to choose. But that doesn't change anything, because the misogynistic bigots that a number of them send to Congress make the decisions. Do you think that Orrin Hatch of Utah, who lives in a state and that he himself turns a blind eye to bigamy and polygamy, do you think he supports a woman's right to choose? Do you think that Rick Santorum, about whom this Justice Sunday crap was created, do you think he supports a woman's... Hell no, he doesn't. And you know what? Here's a newsflash. Even though his chief of staff is gay, if he had a chance, he'd round him up and send him to a concentration camp, because his vision of whatever the incredible cloud critter says tells him that they don't deserve to live. That is not the America that was envisioned by our founders. Not by any stretch of the imagination. That was the nation they were getting away from. That was the England of the time. Rigid, socially structured, class-oriented. And it was everything they tried not to create. And yet, because we have not been good enough guardians of it, it has happened. And we are going backwards. We are going backwards. Proof of backwards? A debate that took place on December the 1st in Chicago. It was a debate between a Notre Dame law professor by the name of Doug Castle or Cassell, and the man who wrote the torture memo for the Bush administration, John Yoo. John Yoo, Y-O-O. This is the degree to which we are going backwards. Understand, John Yoo believes that the president can break any law he sees fit to break, as long as he says he's doing it in the name of national security. Well, Doug Castle, in this debate in Chicago on December the 1st, nailed John Yoo. I want you to hear this. My God, get serious with this. This man is a policymaker. This man is a legal craftsman for the Bush administration. Listen to how he responds to the question posed by Doug Cassell.
If the president deems that he's got to torture somebody, including by crushing the testicles of the person's child, there is no law that can stop that.
No treaty.
No, and then also no law by Congress. That's what you wrote in the August 2002 memo.
I think it depends on why the president thinks he needs to do that.
Get that? I think it depends on why the president thinks he needs to do that. Professor Cassell set up a hypothetical for Mr. Yoo where he could have clearly said, that's just crazy talk. The hypothetical being that could the president order a person's son's testicles to be crushed in order to extract information? Now, you and me, we're decent, we're upstanding, that there's only one answer to that. There is no way the President of the United States has that kind of legal authority. There is no constitutional argument in favor of that kind of authority. But what did John Yoo say? No, John Yoo, the man who said that it's only torture if it arises to the level of organ failure or death. John Yoo says, well, I think it depends on why he wants to do it. You know, for years now, for years, these soulless, godless, motherless, the conservative Republicans have argued that my side, our side, the liberals, that, you know, we are guilty of situational ethics and that we don't have any hard and fast rules, that there's that no doesn't always mean no and yes doesn't always mean yes, and there's no, and that, you know, we're guilty of having gray areas. Guess who's got the gray areas now? I think it depends on why he wants to do it! Crush a child's testicles? I remember a long time back, in the previous incarnation of this show, when we were talking about the confirmation hearings for Alberto Torquemada González. And I created this fictional scenario whereby in the Senate hearing chambers, Gonzalez's little son was brought in and stood up on a paint bucket and had electrodes attached, battery jumper cables attached to him. And the senator querying Gonzalez said, what are you sweating about? We're just going to give him a little dose. It's not going to lead to organ failure or death now, Mr. Gonzalez. That can't be torture now, can it? Oh, look, your little boy's peeing himself. But that's not torture, is it, Alberto? Now, I didn't do that back then, because my lovely wife looked at me and said, Bob, that's just cruel. That's over the line. We were talking about it the other day, though, and she looked at me and said, it's not over the line, because this is how they think. Right, dear?
That's true. And I figure if it would be up to the president to decide if my child were to be tortured, nobody's safe. And I beseech women out there, no matter if you have to take your kids with you when the elections come around, please get out and vote. Your child's future depends on it. So what? I've got four kids. I've taken them with me. Get out there and vote. Make sure that their future's safe and they don't have people like this out there.
And yet, John Yoo, instead of saying the president would never order anything like that, this is America, we don't do that kind of thing. John Yoo says, well, it depends on why he wants to crush the little boy's testicles. Is it just me, or Are the rest of you absolutely sickened and amazed that there aren't 10 million people circling the White House, surrounding it, demanding that this man leave office yesterday? Who, what body, what group licensed John Yoo to practice law? That's not the practice of law. John Yoo is in the practice of enabling torture. Fred Phelps likes to talk about the wrath of God descending upon the United States. Baby, you want to see the wrath of God descend upon the United States if you're that kind of a believer. You keep letting the John Yoos of this world engage in the moral prevarication of which he is apparently highly capable. Play that thing again, dear.
If the president deems that he's got to torture somebody, including by crushing the testicles of the person's child, there is no law that can stop that.
No treaty.
No, and then also no law by Congress. That's what you wrote in the August 2002 memo.
I think it depends on why the president thinks he needs to do that.
No law, no treaty. Do you understand what he's saying by that? Congress can make no law that can stop an imperial president from torturing an individual. What's more, no treaty can stop an American president. That would be the Geneva Conventions. Now wait, what's more? We're talking about crushing testicles. What about pro-life?
In China, after a woman has two children.
Yep, that's all.
That's it. They have to be sterilized. Women throw away babies because they're girls. Or they're put up for adoption. But that's a communist society, isn't it? Is that what you want America to come to?
They're not so communist anymore, dear.
No, but...
they're a lot like us.
But everybody gets the idea.
Wait a minute. Yeah.
What are we? What are we now?
A torture nation.
So what happens when they decide that the girls need to be sterilized? Oh, that would be against the pro-life.
No, but you understand. Crushing testicles. You know, every sperm is sacred, every sperm is great, and if a sperm gets wasted, God gets quite irate. What in the hell, and I mean it, what in the hell are we dealing with in the Bush administration? Because they're not normal, they're not natural. This is some sort of demon spawn. We got to take our break. When we come back, your phone calls are more than welcome. 877, the number 4, head on. 877-443-2366. I'm Bob Kincaid, and keep me away from John Yoo, okay? Not because it's any danger to him. I'm afraid of him.
Mind.
Speaking of thievery,
yes.
Just wanted to let you know that Alistair Cook, okay, last year, right?
Yes.
He died of lung cancer that spread to his bones. He was 95 years old. Apparently, his bones have been or were stolen. Apparently, there's a ring of people out there that steal bones. They steal these bones and they make dental implants. Apparently, now he had cancer all in his bones, right? But the people who stole the bones rewrote the paperwork to make it look like he died of a heart attack. So now there's somebody else walking around out there with his diseased, cancerous bones in their body.
That is freaky.
You know, I just thought it was so...
Oh, my God.
I thought it was so ghoulish.
It just freaks me out. Anyway. Hey, don't forget to join Bruce and I Saturday, 10 p.m. Eastern Time, for the next edition of Fourth Estate Radio. Get the streaming details at fourthestateradio.com. That's fourthestateradio.com.
Tonight's final hour of Head On begins next. 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. That's 1-877-443-2366. Here's Buck.
Welcome back. Coming up on 7 minutes after the hour. I'm Bob. This is Head On. That was the phone number. Email's easy, too. bob@headonradio.com. And to repeat the reminder, no live show tomorrow night. I'm going to go down and... Well, with any luck at all, get to meet our emboldened chairman of the Democratic National Committee, Howard Dean. He's going to be in Charleston tomorrow night. I look forward to that opportunity. A note of condolence, our good friend Clyde at WD40.com is a little bit under the weather. Silly sod thought that 64 degrees in Kansas meant go out and ride the motorcycle this weekend, and he caught a cold. Sorry about that. We got pretty near to a little over 60 degrees here. I was running around in shorts and a t-shirt. I'm lucky I don't have pneumonia. Sorry about that, Clyde. And if you relish the opportunity to get your news on the fly, and a lot of us aren't, you know, don't have all day to do stuff, run by WD40.com. It's an excellent distillation of the news of the day, and some excellent commentary as well. And I hear something may be breaking there in the next couple of days that you might find quite interesting. So do keep it there in your browser. WD40.com. WBYAD40.com. Okay. Let's go to the phones. Our good friend Steve Nicholas from Jackson County is with us. Hey, Steve, how you doing?
I'm doing pretty good, Bob. How about you?
Pretty good. Now, I understand your candidacy for the House of Delegates is official today.
Yes.
Wonderful. So you filed and got everything, all your I's crossed and all your T's dotted, right?
Yeah, I just got to fill out a couple more, like, financial disclosures and everything, but as of 10:37 this morning, my name will be on the ballot.
Well, congratulations. And remind the when's the West Virginia primary again?
May 9th.
May 9th. And your district again?
12th.
Delegate district, because senatorial is different from delegate. Have you seen, do you know if you're going to, based on your filing today, is there anybody else after that nomination on the side of good and decency and light, you know, the Democratic Party?
So far, I'm the only person that's filed in the race, period. Today's the first day, so there's a lot of time between now and the 28th.
Well, what have you been doing? This wasn't just a whim. You've been working on this for a while, Steve. What all sorts of things do you have in place?
Well, I'm still looking for my staff. I think that a lot of that will probably either be filled either after the primary if it's contested or after the filing period if it's not. And I'm sort of trying to get everything lined up and getting ready to, I'm getting some paperwork printed up for some pamphlets, and as soon as I get all of that in order, which should be tomorrow, I'm going to start going door to door.
Wonderful. You know, you can't beat the. You got to wear out a couple of pairs of shoes in this kind of campaign, and Steve. And it sounds to me like you understand what you're facing.
Yeah, I mean that's the only way you can beat the money. And I know that I'm not going to be the big money candidate in this race, so.
Well, do you have a website up now?
It is www.geocities.com/Steve4WV, and we update it pretty regularly. Right now, when you go there, you'll find a basic 10-point plan for West Virginia called Standing for Opportunity. You'll find, I added an issue section, which in the next couple of days, my positions on education are going to be posted, and we got an essay section for things that don't really fit neatly into one category, which right now is sort of our initial essay. We have A Day in the Life of Joe Republican, which...
Yeah, I think we've talked about that on the show, too, from time... The guy who thinks he pulled himself up by his bootstraps...
Yeah, and everything's like this godless liberal, this commie liberal, this tree-hugging liberal, blah, 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 blah.
I understand. Well, Steve, tell me, I'm sure you followed the Sago disaster. Any thoughts on that from a pro-working guy's point of view?
Well, the Mine Safety Health Act wasn't there just to make people fill out a bunch of paperwork. It's supposed to have some teeth in it. And 200 violations and all they get fined on, that's $14,000.
Yeah, $250 per violation, even if it's one that means a substantial likelihood of creating serious bodily harm or death.
And I was watching Outlook on PBS last week, and they had the vice president of the Coal Association saying that was pretty much the standard order of business. Well, if that's the case, then we need to change the standard order of business in this state.
What do you think as far as actual enforcement and making it a little simpler to make making the playing field, not tilting it in favor of organized labor, but how about just making it level so that somebody with a great safety record like the UMWA has an opportunity to come in on unsafe mines like this.
Well, I think that the first thing you need to do is you got to increase the fine. I mean, right there, that way, if somebody's not going to, because right now you got a lot of companies who say, well, that's no big loss, we'll just take our chances and pay the fine. But if we actually make the fines punitive, then they're going to think twice about taking shortcuts with the lives and safety of the mine workers. So what we need to do is, first of all, we need to increase the fines, and second of all, we need to actually give the inspectors the authority and the opportunity to actually do their job. I mean, we're paying them for a reason, and it's not to turn a blind eye, and I'm sure there are a lot of people who want to do their job, but too many people up on high seem to be too willing to turn a blind eye to stuff like that.
Well, Steve, now let's assume for a moment, I believe you're going to wind up in the House of Delegates because your commitment is too strong to be denied. You're Delegate Nicholas now. What are you going to do when Mr. Coal Baron comes to you and says, "Now, Delegate Nicholas, you got to understand, if these fines are increased, we'll go out of business." What are you going to do then?
I'm going to tell him, well, if you would make the job safer, then you wouldn't have to pay the fines in the first place.
I like the way you think. That was a little applause there from Agnes. Because you're dealing with some pretty pretty ferocious and rotten individuals in the coal industry, because they'll put out billboards and Steve Nicholas wants to turn the lights out in West Virginia. Have you got it in you to fight back against that kind of thing?
Well, I've seen the movie May 1. I know what I'm up against, and I mean, if they want to do stuff to try to put me in the corner, chances are they probably won't have done anything to help me get there in the first place. So I don't scare that easily.
Attaboy.
Once you've had mortars fly over your head, some guy threatening to run negative ads on you doesn't have nearly the threat that.
I think you might just be a little bit of the backbone that our party needs, Steve. Because we've got maybe two coal miners in the entire legislature. I think you could do a nice job standing side by side and shoulder to shoulder with a good man like Mike Caputo.
Yeah, I mean he certainly deserves it because. I was on the way driving down to Charleston to file the paperwork. He was talking to Bobby Kirchhoff this morning, and he was right on the money. I mean, these people, they work hard, and whether or not you have any issues with the business practices involved, the people work hard. They
absolutely.
It's necessary, and there's a lot of times that's the only job they've really got, and we gotta treat them right.
Well, I think you should have a right in this state to be as reasonably safe as possible in whatever your undertaking is. And one of the things we've forgotten, Steve, is that we had a disaster where 12 died. A man died last week in Kentucky. Another man died in Kentucky a couple of weeks before that. We only call them disasters if five or more die. They don't even make the papers if one dies.
And the other problem you got is you got all these coal barons who, with this whole mountaintop removal thing.
Right.
Ruining, as I was hearing about somebody who had like a $50,000 house before a mountaintop removal project, and now because of the air and water pollution, its real estate value is only $3,000. And even with the real estate boom we have now, to see it only 15% of its original value, I mean, somebody just got to stand up to these people and say enough's enough.
Well, I tell you what, I think you may just have made yourself more friends than what you know, Steve. And, you know, keep us posted. Again, the website, geocities.com/Steve, the number 4WV. And, you know, like I said, keep us posted here at the show. Call in anytime, Steve. And, you know, is there a way where folks can donate to the campaign there at the website?
I don't have the donations online set up, but I do have the address to send contributions posted.
Well, you know what? If ordinary citizens can give 5, 10, 20, maybe 50 bucks, that's a way of offsetting the corporate money that will flow into your opponent. Well, I'm gonna be optimistic and think that you're gonna be unopposed in the primary. Have you looked in the past at the Republican incumbent? What kind of money they bring in?
I haven't really seen too many reports, but I mean, it seems kind of like one of these races the Republicans have taken for granted for the longest time. So it's kind of hard to be a future indicator. I mean, they might underestimate me. They might take it serious and pump a lot of money into the campaign. But I mean, already I've seen a couple of web balls just sort of one day a couple of months ago, just sort of playing around doing a Google search. I thought it was kind of amusing whenever somebody, the best that they could come up with about my campaign, was too short, too young, and too liberal. And I mean, and even the issues that they were talking about, as far as quote unquote discovering my platform, or the Iraq War, the Patriot Act, and things like that. And I mean, no matter what my position, what can a state legislature can't say bring the troops home now, even if they wanted to.
Well, that's true. However, I guess, well, like, you know, the resolution that was passed by the South Charleston city government opposing the war, there's an opportunity to stand up for the troops. And
yeah.
And I think there's no doubt whatsoever that you as a veteran will do that, Steve.
Yeah, I mean, if you look at some of the things that are happening now, I mean, it's just frustrating for me just trying to get a lot of the benefits that I'm promised now.
Yeah.
So.
Well, there was a Black Hawk helicopter that went down in the last day or so. Over the weekend, how many more Marines died? This war, Steve, is putting us. It's not making us safer. It's making us more in jeopardy.
Yeah, I mean, this way even, and the credibility because of the weapons of mass destruction was so ruined that if we really do have the goods in another country, in the future, it's going to be a lot of people are going to be pretty wary of us the next time around. So
yeah, exactly. It's all the boy who cried wolf, isn't it?
Yeah. And then these same people who say support our troops. So if they want to support our troops, give us our VA funding.
Exactly. You know, they're not troops just when they're over there. They're troops when they get home too. But that's a little too complicated for the other side, I think, Steve.
Yeah, and a lot of the problems don't even really start until you get home.
Exactly.
Or you don't realize their problems until you get home.
Yeah. Well, Steve, thanks again so much, and please keep in touch. And, you know, if you don't mind, tell folks about the show and tell them that you've been on, and tell them they can hear about your campaign whenever you've got news about it right here. And as long as you keep me up to date, we'll share the info for you.
I will certainly do that.
All right. Thanks so much, and take care, and best of luck, Steve.
Thanks.
Bye now.
Bye.
That's our good friend Steve Nicholas from Jackson County, running as a Democrat for the House of Delegates, a veteran, a journalist, an intelligent, enlightened man who would do the people of West Virginia very well with his presence in the House. So go by his website, geocities.com/Steve, the number 4, WV. Give him some help. He's not a crony. He's not a corporate shill. He's just a straight-up guy who's trying to do the right thing by West Virginia. And that goes a long way with me. Let's take a break and come back, and we'll try a different tack. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid.
The Democratic Party keeps moving closer and closer to where the Republican Party is in order to try to win elections. And I've watched how Democrats have consistently become more and more disgusted with the National Party because of the fact that they keep doing this. To no surprise, what did I find when I opened up the Washington Post? Senator Clinton crafts vague stance on war with eye to 2008. Senator Clinton, get a clue and, you know, get a backbone, for God's sake. You know, stand up and stand for something. I guess that's what really gets to me worse than anything, you know, anything else, is that when I vote for a leader, I want that leader to say to me, this is not a popular stand, and I understand this. This stand that I'm taking is going to polarize a lot of people, but you know what? I believe in what I'm doing, you know, and I will do what I can to carry it through regardless of my political future. This is Bruce Birch. I'd like to invite you to join me for All Things Reconsidered this Sunday at 10 p.m. Eastern. For connection information, visit allthingsreconsidered.org. That's allthingsreconsidered.org.
unbelievable.
Okay, so we're a little bit out of sync here. We're not even to the end of the bottom of the hour yet, so we're just going to cruise straight through to the top of the to the end of the show, and we'll you know, you got about 30 minutes or so to get your last licks in. Feel free to do so at 877, the number 4, head on, 877-443-2366, or alternatively 304-658-3333. Email Bob at headonradio.com, but of course, mostly you know that. I want to make sure that we hit something this evening that went down yesterday on Wolf Blitzer's late edition. He had the man that I hope to at least have a, you know, say howdy to tomorrow night. He had Howard Dean on his show yesterday and did what God knows the liberal media has been busting its rear end to do, and that is to try to wrap the Democratic Party into the Jack Abramoff scandal. You know, the Republican scandal. The scandal that is only touching the Republican Party, and they're dying. They are fairly dying to sucker the Democrats into this one. But it doesn't work. We weren't involved. Say what you will about Democratic members of Congress, you know, Jack Abramoff never gave a thin dime to him. And, well, you know, I just want you to hear, go ahead and hear Wolf Blitzer trying to pull Howard Dean into this stupid frame, this dirty frame, this lie, this media lie that Democrats were involved in this classically corrupt Republican scandal.
Should Democrats who took money from Jack Abramoff, who's now pleaded guilty to bribery charges, among other charges, a Republican lobbyist in Washington, should the Democrats who took money from him give that money to charity or give it back?
There are no Democrats who took money from Jack Abramoff. Not one. Not
Attaboy
one
Howard.
Single Democrat. Every person named in this scandal is a Republican. Every person under investigation is a Republican. Every person indicted is a Republican. This is a Republican finance scandal. There is no evidence that Jack Abramoff ever gave any Democrat any money. And we've looked through all those FEC reports to make sure that's true.
But through various Abramoff-related organizations and outfits, of Democrats take money that presumably originated with Jack Abramoff.
Presumably.
That's not true either.
Some
there's no evidence for that either. There's no evidence.
Senator, what about Senator Byron Dorgan?
Senator Byron Dorgan and some others took money from Indian tribes. They're not agents of Jack Abramoff. There's no evidence that I've seen that Jack Abramoff directed any contributions to Democrats. I know the Republican National Committee would like to get the Democrats involved in this.
Oh, God,
they're scared.
Yes.
They should be scared. They haven't told the truth. They have misled the American people. And now it appears they're stealing from Indian tribes. The Democrats are not involved in this.
Listen.
Unfortunately, Mr. Chairman, we got to leave it right there.
Howard Dean, you bitch. Did you just hear? I mean, that's what that was. Oh, God, you can. Can of Fun has it. Crooks and Liars has it. See the sigh. See the sigh. That is what Wolf Blitzer wanted to say. No doubt about it. You're not playing by the game, Howard. Howard, you're supposed to admit that Democrats are dirty, too. That's what they've told me. That's what I'm paid to say. My job is at risk here, Howard. And even went so far as to have Ken Melman, Wolf did, had Ken Melman on the show this afternoon, trying to get him to say that Howard Dean was lying. And Ken Melman couldn't do it because Ken Melman, chinless Ken, knows that his party is sleazy and dirty and filthy. And by the way, all these politicians out there, what's the Bush administration? They're giving $6,000 of the $100,000 that Jack Abramoff gave to the Bush campaign. They're giving $6,000 to the American Heart Association. Well, there's a little news story out there. These Indian tribe monies came in large part from the Tigua tribe as they tried to get, as they tried to advance their casino interests. That is their money that George Bush is giving and all these other filthy Republicans are giving to charity, the Heart Association. And the Tigua tribe came out and said, look, Jack Abramoff took every damn dime we had. Our casino got closed because of what Jack Abramoff did, because he took their money from them to advocate on behalf of their casino, and then on the other hand took money from other Indian tribes to advocate against the casino. And the Tigua tribe says, if you're giving any money back, give it back to us. We're broke. We're ruined. Jack Abramoff destroyed us. You know, on the one hand, you feel sorry. Just, it's another case of, you know, Native Americans getting screwed, getting ripped off by, you know, the Great White Father. But my God, did they not understand? You know, it's the story of the snake again. When you pick up the snake and the snake bites you, don't be mad at the snake. It's what snakes do. When they started dealing with Jack Abramoff, did they not understand that they were dealing with a sleazebag and a crook and a felon in the making? My God, listen to him. Listen to him at the 1984 Republican National Convention.
Today, our party readies itself to mount the wave of the future. Will we ride that wave to glory? Or will it send us crashing ashore?
Well, you've crashed ashore, Jack. But that's the hubris that the Republican Party is absolutely chock-a-block filled with. Will we ride the wave to the future on our potty? That's what he said. He said, will our potty. Don't look at me like that, Agnes. Dadgummit. He said potty. Play it again.
Today, our party readies itself to mount the wave of the future.
That's enough.
Will we ride that wave to glory, or will it send us crashing ashore?
Why can't a Republican do something without talking about mounting something?
I'm sorry, the crashing upon shore, really, I like that part.
Yeah, but he said potty, didn't he? Yes, he did. Will our potty. Oh, well, you know, whatever. A little blue humor at 25 minutes before the hour. Yeah, whatever. But this is, you know, this is, again, the word imperial comes to mind. This is imperial hubris. Back in 1984, Ronald Reagan had screwed America for 4 years, and the Republican hogs had the back feet and the front feet and the snout all in the trough together. And that was the wave of glory they were going to ride. Ralph Reed was just wet behind the ears. So was Jack Abramoff. So was Karl Rove. And they were all dreaming of the excesses to which they could have access in just a few short years. Oh, sure, they had to suffer. Only having caviar once a day through the Clinton administration, sure they did, but they knew that they were riding the wave. You know, we know now that in the first 10 months, of the Bush administration, Abramoff and his lobbying team had nearly 200 contacts with the Bush administration, telling the Bushistas who to hire and where to place them. 200 times in 10 months. Hell, that's one. Conservatively estimating, that's one a day in a typical Washington workday. It ranged from Attorney General John Ashcroft to people in big time Dick Cheney's office. And then there was, of course, the $100,000 that Abramoff raised for George Bush, and which George Bush is gleefully and delightedly hanging on to all but $6,000 of. This is who they're crooks. I am not a crook. Yes, you are. And your little dog, too. There is a reason the American people are looking up and going, what the hell about this Congress? But before you get too worked up about the American people being disgusted with the Republican Congress, remember that they have had eleven years now in which to work out their redistricting schemes. If a majority, you know, if a plebiscite was held tomorrow and everybody went to the polls across the country and the question was, would you like to throw out the Republicans and you know, get rid of the Republican majority, and everybody, yeah, to the tune of whatever the percentage was in this latest poll, that would be fine, but it doesn't work that way. It's district by district by district by district, and I hope to God the Democratic National Committee and the Democratic Congressional Campaign Committee understand that it is this is street fighting. This is door-to-door stuff. You have to fight in Sugar Land, Texas. You have to fight in Orange County, California. You have to fight wherever Republicans are running for re-election. The national consensus does not matter in this election. It has to be focused. It has to be the most non-attention deficit disorder campaign that the Democrats have ever run, simply put. And, you know, God knows we've got our own problems on our side of the aisle. This rolled in from Bradblog, our good friend Brad Friedman at bradblog.com. This was posted there, I think, last night. There's a guy running for Senate against Republican George Allen in Virginia. And I'm no fan of George Allen by any stretch of the imagination. But the guy who's running for the Democratic nomination for Senate in Virginia is no charmer himself. Guess who he is? I mean, talk about not having a choice. I feel sorry for the people of Virginia if this is the choice that they face in November. Running on the Democratic ticket is a character named Harris Miller. Harris Miller. You'll hear the name more. He is he's the head the president of or former president of the Information Technology Association of America, ITAA. Now, you might think, well, Information Technology Association, that sounds reasonable. We probably need an Information Technology Association of America. Guess what that means? The Information Technology Association of America, the ETA, was set up by the electronic voting machine companies. Yeah, no kidding. The Information Technology Association of America is a wholly owned subsidiary of Diebold, Sequoia, and ES&S. Go look at this on bradblog.com. I'm not kidding. I'm not making this up. A quote from Harris Miller from the story. We oppose the idea of a voter-verified paper trail. Well, I guess you do, Harry. He bolted from the ITAA last week, and he's expected to announce his candidacy for the Senate as a Democrat from Virginia. You know, I don't like Republicans. I don't hang out with them. I don't. I just don't much care for Republicans. But I think I like these kind of people even less. This guy's not a Democrat. Again, you and me, decent, upstanding, liberal, progressive Democrats, we will decide who is and is not a Democrat. Show of hands, please, is a guy who takes money advocating on behalf of touchscreen voting, is that a Democrat? That's what I thought. See, this is just like romper room. I can see you out there in Radio Land raising your hand. No, he's not a Democrat, boys and girls. He's an ugly little Republican. He's a wolf in wolf's clothing.
No, Bob. He's a wolf in sheep's clothing. Look it up. It's there.
Yeah, because we're sheep. Damn. I hate it when that happens. He lobbied Congress against verified voting on behalf of Diebold and other paperless voting machine manufacturers. Yeah, that Harris Miller. Another quote from the Brad Blog story. Introducing paper into the mix defeats the improved efficiency and reliability of e-voting promises. As the story at Brad Blog says, no, really, that's what he said.
Well, look on the bright side. Evidently, he realizes that the Democrats are going to win this time.
Oh, these are not the droids you're looking for.
Those aren't the droids I'm looking for.
There's a link there to some other information regarding this character. It just makes you want to cry, doesn't it? Sure it does. Programs, 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 get your programs. Can't tell the Democrats without a program. Can't tell the Democrats from a Republican without the program. Get your programs here. And a little popcorn. Because I got a feeling it's going to be interesting over in Virginia. Which sleazy Republican do we vote for today, Madge? Jesus. Oh, also in Virginia, apparently they've got their legislature up and running. They beat us to the punch by a couple of weeks. That's why they're our big sister state. A bill in the Virginia state legislature. Now remember, we're talking about Republicans here. We're talking about pro-life Republicans. We're talking about pro-life Republicans who want a baby in every womb, right? Wrong. A bill in the Virginia state legislature would prevent unmarried women from using assisted reproductive technology, including lesbians. Isn't that the capital of Portugal? No. Lesbians who frequently use donor insemination to have children. They have donors inseminated inside them. No, wait, no, stop. I made Agnes mad.
That's enough of that, Bob.
I'm sorry, it was just bad journalism. I can't help it sometimes.
Bad joke.
Throw father down the stairs his hat. This is that. Delegate Robert Marshall, Republican, Manassas, we call it Bull Run, who has also sponsored measures to ban same-sex marriage and strictly limit abortions, pre-filed House Bill 187 on January 2nd for the 2006 legislative session, which begins January 11th, day after tomorrow. See, I told you they got at it quicker than we did. Do you understand what this means? Pro-lifers now want to decide which lives they want to be pro of. Ouch. Just ouch. No kidding. Pro-lifers want to decide which lives get to get into the womb. Because, why? Did I miss some big bad right-wing study where apparently lesbianism is catching?
They're still mad because... Melissa Etheridge.
But that was David Crosby.
But they're still mad. They couldn't have David Crosby's baby, so they're mad.
Mother. Equality Virginia, the state's gay political group, denounced the measure as a, quote, direct attack on Virginia's families, noting that Marshall co-sponsored an unsuccessful bill in the last legislative session to ban gays from adopting children. This guy just hates... What? Women? Does he hate Delegate Robert Marshall? God, I wish I had a phone number. Or a fax number. Or an email addy. I'd share it with you guys. No, that's okay. We don't have time, Agnes. You guys are internet wizards. You'll sort this out. What'd you break, Agnes? I heard the noise. I'm just kidding. Marshall's new effort would preclude lesbian couples from conceiving through artificial insemination, Equality Virginia said. And the measure would also prevent gay men from having children through unmarried surrogate mothers. But what the bottom line, this what did we have last week? The story from Barack Obama? Well, it ain't a party till something gets broke, Agnes. The story from Barack Obama, where he declared, I think it was to the Florida Democratic Party, he declared that Republicans practice social Darwinism. You know, social Darwinism is a theory that even Darwin himself denounced. The idea that you can apply Darwin's principles of evolution to social engineering. It's just, reached its heyday with Germany, 1930s, 1940s. And yet, here it is. When the Republican Party wants to decide which wombs can have artificial insemination implanted and which ones cannot, have we not finally reached the threshold where we understand them for what the hell they are? You can have a baby, but lady, you can't. Are you a lesbian? You can't have artificial insemination. I mean, what do we got? We got to have some sort of heterosexual loyalty oath at the doctor's office now? Because otherwise, how the hell is Robert Marshall, Republican of Manassas, going to know who's a lesbian and who's not? Really? How do you know? Unless you're under the bed. When the lights go out or stay on. Unless you're in the room, how do you know how somebody has sex? Do you see how butt-stupid these people are? I ask the question time and again, are they that stupid or do they think we are? They're that dumb! This is just, in order to manifest their bigotry against gay women and gay men, they have to make it an all-encompassing bigotry. So it's a proscription on unmarried women having artificial insemination. Now wait. It gets better. Think about it. It's the buttoneer commercial. This is the pocket fisherman. But wait, there's more. It's a Ginsu. Assume for a moment that this law passes. A woman is widowed. She wants to have a child by her now dead husband. To carry on in downright old-fashioned Old Testament biblical style his patrilineal DNA. Assume for a moment that, they'd had some critters frozen in liquid nitrogen some time back. And she wants to bear her husband's child as a memorial to him. She's not married. Under delicate Marshall's law, Marshall law, how about that? Told you God was a God of irony. Under delicate Marshall's law, she's an unmarried woman. And when she has that artificial insemination, that just means she's a slut. That is the way they think. Every Republican reproductive policy has as its concrete base pure, simple, unmitigated bigotry. My God, who aren't they bigoted against? They're bigoted against black people. They're bigoted against women. They're bigoted against lesbians. They're bigoted against gay men. They're bigoted against transgendered people. They're bigoted against Arabs. They're bigoted against the Asians. They're bigoted against... The only people they're not bigoted against are white people. And they're only not bigoted against some of them. Man, that gets to be a pretty small party in a while. How in the hell did they get power? But that's where we are. We're entering legislative season. Some of you who listen outside the state of West Virginia, outside the continental confines of the United States, might get a little bored with me. But I promise you, the West Virginia legislature is about to come into session, and we are going to have a high old time. Delegate John Overington from the Eastern Panhandle of West Virginia will, as sure as God made little green apples and little green apples give you the trots, he will have his he'll have his death penalty bill back out. Some idiot will introduce a nipple-piercing bill. Oh, yeah. I mean, it's not quite the carnival that the Georgia, Alabama, or Mississippi legislatures are, but it's still pretty darn good. So bear with me in the days and weeks to come. The measure would forbid medical professionals from providing to unmarried women certain intervening medical technology that completely or partially replaces sexual intercourse as the means of conception. No kidding. They want to know how you have sex. They want to know when you have sex. I've come to the conclusion that the Republican Party wants to watch us have sex. And I just can't help where that's concerned, and I don't think Agnes can either. You know, I don't care if they are all like Peter Sellers in being, I like to watch. You can't watch, you damned Republicans! You know, for all their talk about family values, is there anything more private than the, what goes on when the light goes off? And these sick, sorry sons of syphilitic sea cooks want to watch! You know, what's next? Did you enjoy it, therefore you're a sinner? No! Stop! Oh, please stop! Any listeners in Virginia, will you please just, you know, find... Don't write him a letter, don't fax him, don't call him, don't email him. Just find him on the street and get a bunch of friends and point at him and laugh at him for the idiot that he is! Delegate Robert Marshall R. Manassas. Little groups of children should follow this cretin around going, he wants to watch Mommy and Daddy do it. He wants to know how... He's a booby. He's an idiot. He's a fool. That's how you deal with some of these people. Pick it. That's fine. But when he walks out, lay the signs down and just point and laugh. If more people had laughed at Hitler instead of ignoring him, we wouldn't have had the problem. Him and his funny little brown shirts and his down-at-heels boots and his goofy little Charlie Chaplin mustache. Laughter is a potent weapon. These people are despicable, but they're also deserving of our derision. So, I don't know. If you can find, because, you know, if Delegate Robert Marshall has introduced it, you know that there are a bunch of other pointy-headed little Republicans who are going to support it. Yeah, that's a wonderful idea. We got to make sure the lesbians ain't having babies, because, you know, that lesbianism's catching. And what if she has a little girl and it's a little lesbian baby in the womb? Well, wait a minute, we might want to, oh, no, we can't abort it. Oh, hell, don't let them have that artificial insemination. It's the road to hell. See how it works? It's how they think, or what passes for thinking, you see. Thanks for sticking around. I know we've been all over the board tonight, but I appreciate you hanging out, and I hope you had a little bit of fun. I wish I was going to be here tomorrow night, but I'm not. There will be some sort of an archive program running instead, and we will be back for a prayer meeting edition on Wednesday evening. Same bat channel, same bat time. Okay? The show tonight was produced by my lovely wife, Agnes. It was announced by Brian Reznor. The studio setup was engineered by Randy Curbway, and our dear, dear friend Ben Birch at WhiteRoseSociety.org maintains the stream that you listen to and the archives as well. Remember, Ben, when you're in a giving mood, he never sends you a bill, but he's always there for you with, what, more than 5 million hours of progressive talk radio served. And also our appreciation to Shelby LePray at RadioPower.org. We love